Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of John, chapter 21. John, chapter 21. We're going to read a fairly lengthy passage here, verses 1 through 14. And we'll read this passage responsively. John 21, verses 1 through 14. John 21, verses 1 through 14. And we'll read this passage responsively. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and of the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging net with fishes. And as soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye now have caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. And let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it's living. Thank you that it's true. And thank you that it meets our needs even today in 2013. Lord, thousands of years have passed, and yet it still applies. I pray that you would teach us today what you have for us in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Here in John 21 is a story that, honestly, for a long time confused me. Let me show you what I mean. Here you have five of the 12 disciples who aren't even in the ministry. Less than a week after Calvary, they quit. Here you have people who walked with Jesus, talked with Jesus, saw the miracles of Jesus, preached with him, ate with him, did all those things, and less than a week after Calvary or so, they're not even serving God. How could they turn away from the things of God so quickly? How could they be backslidden so fast? I don't know how else to say it. I have seen the same thing happen in my life many, many times. I have watched Bible colleges, churches, businesses, Christians, good families, in a matter of days, totally change. Seems like once the strong leader of a place either leaves or goes to heaven, things just that quickly, it's different. Surely, this was not the way it's supposed to be for Christianity. These five men, plus one that is now dead because of suicide, Judas Iscariot, Understand something. They heard every message Jesus preached for the last 3.5 years. They saw every miracle that Jesus did. I'm not talking about just some of them. They saw it all. They counseled with him. They got his advice. They heard him pray. They watched God answer Jesus' prayers, and yet within days, they are going a totally opposite direction from Christ. They watched Jesus walk on the water. They watched Jesus feed the multitude with a few loaves and a few fish. They watched Jesus speak to the winds and the waves and watch it calm. And now they're out of the ministry. Just in a matter of days. They watched the Holy Spirit descend on him like a dove and fill him with everything that he did. And may I say it this way, they even saw him after he resurrected from the dead, which no other person has ever done. They watched him heal the sick. They watched him take the blind and turn their blind eyes to seeing eyes. They watched him raise the dead. They watched him call Lazarus' name, and Lazarus came out of the grave. Now, wait a minute. How could they see all this, experience all this, and walk away that fast? What happened to that excitement when he turned the water to wine? What happened to that thrill of watching him walk across the water in the middle of the storm on the Sea of Galilee? What happened to that excitement of watching sick people healed? What happened to the excitement of watching the wind and waves obey him? What happened to that excitement when he was in a place called Gadara? That a demon-possessed man who nobody could control, who chains and other things could not even bind him, that Jesus walked up, began to talk to him, and in a matter of moments, he was sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. What happened to that excitement? What happened to the thrill of the multitudes being fed? Tens of thousands of people being fed with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And picking up 12 baskets full of food after it was all over. Man, the excitement of all that. What happened to it? One of my favorite stories. What happened to the excitement of Jesus making a whip and chasing out the money changers out of the temple? Turning the tables over and going, yeah, get out of here. What happened to that excitement? Were they so busy for God that they needed a break? Were they so stressed from doing God's work so much that they needed to quit? Did they burn themselves out and need a vacation? Was it too much for God and not enough for self? Did they need to just take a break from serving God? Now listen to me. I've watched church members come and go my whole life. I'm not being unkind, but it's just true. I've watched church members in churches all over the country come and go. By the way, some will come and some will leave our church. And by the way, not all of them leave for a bad reason. Okay? Brother Williamson Sr. just has left our church, but it's for a good reason. He's trying to launch out into the ministry, and we're for him. And that's not a bad thing. And others, but listen to me very carefully. Others just leave. They fade away. They might go to church, or they'll go to a church that doesn't preach quite right, just to excuse themselves in any way they want. And eventually do little or nothing for God. Why? I've watched people pay the price to go through Bible college that are, and by the way, not everybody that goes to Bible college does it to go into the ministry full time. But those that do go to Bible college to be in the ministry full time, I watch them pay that price, they get through it, and then they don't do anything for God. Why? We have people in here, you've graduated from Bible college, but your purpose was not to go into the ministry full time. There's nothing wrong with that. But I will say this, you shouldn't do nothing. Everybody doing okay? Why do so many Christians, I'm going to use a term here, burn out? Now back in the 70s and 80s, that meant you were toast on drugs, all right? That's not what I'm talking about. Today, I want to show you how to avoid burning out as a Christian. The best way not to burn out is to keep the fire stoked. What happens when something burns out? It runs out of fuel. In just a few months, it's hard to believe, but in just a few months, about October or so, my wood stove will start. Say why? Because it'll start getting cold at night. I'm one of those people, I like to start a fire in late October, early November, and not have to use a match again the rest of the season. I like keeping the fire stoked, amen? Say, why? Because, man, I hate lighting a fire. Now, I know how to do it. Now, my wife, she tries and tries and tries and tries, and I've showed her and showed her and showed her and showed her, and she'll just let everything burn out, and I got to start it again. It's okay. But I've gone 2 and 3 months and kept my fire going and never used a match one. Say, why? I know how to keep that fire stoked. Now, if you'll listen to me today, that fire never has to go out in your Christian life. Do you realize that you're responsible for your Christian life? And just like that wood stove I have at home, it's my responsibility to tend to it, to keep it going so that it doesn't go out. The Christian life is the same way. Number one, how do you keep from burning out? I love point number one. I put it at the beginning today. Usually I keep the one I like most for the end, but I put it at the beginning today. Number one, get yourself wrapped up in the love of God. Folks, do you realize something? God loves you. I'm not talking about God just loves the whole world. God loves you personally. The God of the universe that created all things, that keeps all things going, guess what? He loves me personally. Jeremiah, he loves you. Neil, God loves you personally. Hey, I don't know any other statement that gives me goosebumps like that, but God loves me. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about God made you specifically to be you. And he loves you the way you are. So many times we think we've got to fit into some kind of mold. The world would be a boring place if everybody were the same. That's what the, and listen to this statement, and I don't mean it to be political, but that's what the sodomites want. That's what the liberals want. They want everybody to be the same. God didn't make you to be the same. I hate to tell the president this, but making HUD in charge of diversifying neighborhoods now is not what will work. They tried it back in the 60s and 70s. They called it desegregation. Y'all remember what I'm talking about? Didn't work then, not going to work again. Seems like the only thing we learn from history is we don't learn from history. You could put a different name to it, but it's the same program. Folks, when's the last time you sang, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. I am weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. My daughter, when she was a real little tyke, I'd put her to bed at night, and I'd usually sing her not to sleep, but to just get her wound up before she goes to bed. And I remember singing, "Jesus Loves Me" to her. And I'd say, "Yes, Jesus loves Mindy. Yes, Jesus loves Daddy. Yes, Jesus loves Josh and Jeff and Mommy too." And I'd put our names to that song. You say, why? Because that's how personal God wants to love you. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you told God that you loved him? When's the last time you looked to heaven and said, "God, I love you"? Folks, you might think I'm weird, and you're probably right. But when my eyes open in the middle of the night and the first thing in the morning, the first words I say is, "God, I love you." I want the first words out of my mouth every day to be, "God, I love you." The last thing I say before I try to doze off at night is, "God, I love you." You know what? I love the song, "What a Day That Will Be." When my Jesus I shall see, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. Folks, can you imagine what it's going to be like to take the hand of Jesus and let him take you on a tour of heaven? Well, glory. Can you imagine Jesus, Brother Jimbo, taking you down the streets of gold, introducing you to Moses and Abraham and Isaac and David and Solomon and Paul and Peter and the rest of the gang? Can you imagine Jesus introducing you personally to those people? Man, I don't know about you, but that motivates me. It's not hard for me to keep going when I realize God loves me. By the way, no matter what happens, God loves you. We didn't read it, but if you keep reading in John chapter 21 there, the very next set of verses, Jesus looks at Peter and says, "Peter, do you love me?" He said, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee, then feed my sheep." "Peter, do you love me?" "Oh, Lord, you know I love you, then feed my lambs." "Peter, do you love me?" It had been a week since Peter said, "Jesus, I love you." Hey, fellas, how long's it been since you told your wife you loved her? Amen. Ladies, how long's it been since you told your husband you love her? You love him, sorry. Can I tell you something? There ought not be a day of your life go by where the people that you love do not hear those words from you, that "I love you." I don't think there's been a day of my children's life that they have not heard their daddy say, "I love you." Promise you. I don't think you could ask my children that there's not been a day of their life they haven't heard their dad tell their mom that he loved her, and vice versa. Say, "Are your kids perfect?" No, they're mine. Trust me, they're not perfect. But I promise you this, they know they're loved. They know they're loved. Folks, the very creator of the universe loves you. Do you think he wants to judge you and give you grief and punish you? No. He wants what's best for you. Hey, parent, do you look at your kids every day and say, "How can I make their life miserable?" Not unless they're a teenager. No, even as teenagers, you look at your kids and say, "I love them. I want what's best for them. How can I help my child? How can I give them things that will make them do right, but yet know that I love them?" Guess what? You were created in the image of God. God does not look down at you and say, "Ha, I'm going to make Mrs. Hawkins' life miserable. I'm going to give her Ed." No. He doesn't do that. Can I tell you something? Take time every day to tell God you love him. Can I tell you something else? Take time every day to tell the people around you you love them. Hey, parent, tell your children you love them. Say, "Well, they're too little. They don't understand." They know what that word means. Trust me. They know. Say, "Well, they're only a couple weeks or a couple months old." They need to hear it every day of their life. You let God take that child away, you'll wish you would have told him. Hey, wife, you better tell him you love him every day because you might not have him tomorrow. Husband, you better tell her you love her because you might not have her tomorrow. We're not guaranteed another day, but we've got today. Hey, friend, why don't we tell each other we love each other? You know what I love about this church? We're not afraid to walk up and say, Brother Andrew, I love you. You're my friend. Brother Dan, I love you. You're my friend. We're not afraid to do those kinds of things. We're not afraid to walk up and, Brother Ron, I love you. Man, am I glad you're back from vacation. You're glad too, amen. Hey, you know what? I'm glad we're in a church where that's not weird. By the way, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. Can I tell you something? There used to be a time in America where that was normal. Now, we're afraid to say things like that. I'm not afraid of it. I'm glad to watch our men walk up and shake each other's hands and greet each other the way they do around here. I love that. I'm glad when I got two big old tough men and they walk up to each other. You know, you put a brother Jimmy and a brother Jeff Pop together. I love to watch those two men walk up and shake each other's hands and say, I love you, brother. Man, that's big stuff in more than one way. But you know what? There's nothing sissy about that. It's the sissy who doesn't have enough guts to back up what he says. That's why he doesn't say it. Hey, fellas, just because you told her when you said I do, that shouldn't be the last time you say it. Well, I told her 20 years ago when we got married, it ought to last that long. It doesn't. You need to tell her every day. Let me say this. I long for our church to know that I love you. I really do. I long for it. There's not a week that goes by that you don't hear your pastor say, I love you. And by the way, it's not words. I mean it. I give my whole life to this thing. I'm closer to you than I am my own family that's away from here. I mean that. I'm closer to you men than I am my own brother. Say, you're not a good brother. I might not be, but I'll love you. I'm closer to you and your families than I am. I know your children better than I do my nieces and nephew. It's true. I know your families better than I do even my brother's family. Now, I love my brother. I love my sister-in-law. I love his two daughters and his son and their spouses of the two that are married. And I love my wife's side of the family and her sister and brother and their children. But guess what? We know you better than we know them. We do. Say why? Because I have given everything I've got to this. I might see my brother once a year. Seriously. It's been that way for 25 years. Now listen to me very carefully. I long. I've been around people that die. I spend my life in the emergency rooms of life. Most of it's with Ed Hawkins anymore. Can I say something? I hope, Brother Buck, someday when this body dies, I hope the last words ever spoken out of this mouth is, I love you. I long for that. I do. I always said the last words I wanted Brother Hiles to hear me say are, I love you. Well, 12 and a half years later, guess what? Those were the last words he ever heard me say. I remember the day I walked out of his office, the last time I spoke to him, the last words were, Preacher, I love you. In a matter of hours, he was in the hospital after having had a heart attack, and within about 10 days was in heaven. The last words he ever heard me say were, "Preacher, I love you." My mom will tell you this. My dad will tell you this. I don't leave their presence or stop a phone conversation with them without saying, "I love you." Not going to happen. Say why? My dad's getting into his senior years. Got to be careful. I'm going to their house to eat. Amen. Wait a minute. My daddy's 74 years old. My mom's not that old. I ain't getting in any more trouble. But may I say this? I'm not guaranteed a lot of years with them necessarily. Say, well, what if you got 10 more years? Thank God for it, but I'm not guaranteed another one. My grandma's 95 years old. Tough old German, amen. I was talking to her on the phone yesterday, as I do every Saturday. You know what the last words I said to my 95-year-old grandmother? I love you, Grandma. I love you too, sweetheart. Last words she heard me say. I don't know when the last conversation I'll have with her will be, but I do want her, when she goes to heaven, to know I loved her. Let me ask you a question. Do you know that God loves you? Let me ask you a question. Does God know you love him? When's the last time you told him? That's weird, Brother Bush. No, it's not. Hey, boys and girls, you need to learn to tell your mama you love her. Teenager, if you're too big to tell your mama you love her, you're too big. Hey, fellas, you need to be able to look at your mama square in the eyeball and say, "Mama, I love you." It's not a tough guy that doesn't tell her. It's a tough guy that can tell her. Everybody doing okay? Hey, girls, you need to look at your daddy square in the face and say, "Daddy, I love you." Boy, that's good stuff. By the way, you don't love because you serve. You serve because you love. You don't love because you serve. You serve because you love. Number two, be a truth seeker. Learn to seek truth. You know, it's interesting. The disciples got away from the truth right away. Brother Mike, you know that Jesus told them exactly what was going to happen, and they got away from the truth? Six of those rascals, within a week, were gone. One killed himself, and five were back in the fishing business, bought a boat, and went into the business, and quit the ministry. Folks, they quit the ministry. They forgot what Jesus' work was all about. Now listen to me very carefully. You better get in this book and know this book. I'm not afraid to make a big issue of it. The King James Bible is the Word of God. It doesn't contain the Word of God. It doesn't have the Word of God. It is the Word of God. Paul didn't say this. John didn't say this. Peter did not say this. God said it. Well, God gave the thoughts and man wrote the words. No, God gave the words too. We don't have a perverted, sinful Savior. And my Bible says in Revelation that when he comes back, written on his vesture will be his name, the Word of God. Guess what? That's his name. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. It's Jesus. Jesus is perfect. He is holy and he is ever true. Guess what? So is his Word. Don't let people tell you, well, John said here in John chapter 21, John didn't say it, God said it. John wrote the words down, but Jesus gave those words, every last one of them. Hello. Better learn to read the Bible. May I say this? It'd be good for you to start memorizing the Bible. Can I tell you why some of you get in trouble? Because you don't know what the Bible says. You ought to find areas that are weak in your life and memorize scripture in those areas. A few years ago, I went through the Bible. It took me about 2 months, 3 months to get through every word of the Bible and each verse. And I had I've been memorizing scripture for 40 plus years. In 1 week, I memorized in Bible school enough verses to win my mom a Bible. I think that week I memorized 118 or 128 verses in 1 week. Say why? Because I wanted to win that Bible for my mom. I mean, I memorized and memorized and memorized and memorized and memorized and memorized. And it's amazing, 35 years later, they're still in there. And I have memorized, I thought, maybe 1,000 verses. I went through and started counting. I've memorized over 3,600 verses of the Bible. Say, well, how'd you do it? Did you have a Bible memory plan? No, I just keep reading and 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 reading. It's amazing how God brings it back to memory. I'm not saying that you shouldn't set out to memorize certain scriptures. But Jesus wept, and remember Lot's wife. Those are two verses, amen? They ought to be more than three words long. Seek truth. Did you get that statement? Seek truth. I'm going to make some statements here, so seek truth for justice's sake. Do you know it's Jesus is the Holy One, He is the true One, and He is the just One. Do you know how you get justice? By knowing what the truth is. Hey parents, before you punish your children, you better find out if there's two kids involved. Well, if there's one involved, you better find out what is the truth. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You know, don't get into the cookies. Okay, Mom. They got cookies hanging out their pocket. They got cookie stuff all over their face. Did you take cookies? Oh, no, not me. And that was your husband. Now, wait a minute. Oh, no, I didn't. Well, empty your pockets. Why? Let me look in your mouth. Why? Y'all know what I'm talking about? You're looking for the truth. Let me ask you a question. Before you make a decision, why not seek the truth? By the way, everybody look at me. Just because NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, and CNN say it doesn't mean it's true. Matter of fact, if they say it, it's probably not true. Never understood how people could get paid for printing lies and reporting lies. Don't believe everything you hear. Well, I heard this. Yeah, did you hear the whole thing or just what the news put out there? Everybody doing okay? Do you know you can take anybody's words and make it say something in a setting that's not true? The news media has made a science of finding little blips and blurps of what people say, put a whole story around it, and take it totally out of context and make it sound like that person's guilty. Everybody look at me for a second. Just because a leader said it doesn't mean it's true either. I know a lot of evil people that are leaders. Now everybody listen real carefully on this. Just because a couple people say it doesn't mean it's real. That just means you have the right to investigate. Don't convict. You say, was Mr. Zimmerman guilty in Florida? I know this, a jury found him not guilty. I didn't hear all the facts, neither did you. Why did you form an opinion? Some of you older timers and mid timers. Remember the O.J. Simpson trial? Half believed he was guilty, half believed he was innocent. May I say this? A jury found him not guilty, and some of you are still mad over it. But you didn't hear all the evidence. Before we hear and form an opinion, maybe we ought to get all of our facts together. And maybe we ought to investigate where the facts came from before we decide. Well, Brother Smith said it, so it must be true. Could it be that Brother Smith got it from a place he shouldn't have and didn't know it? Maybe we ought to investigate where we even get what we call proof. I was a principal for an awful long time. Believe me, it's amazing what you have to investigate. I could be a private detective by now. But I'd rather let somebody go that's guilty than convict somebody that's not. I really would. Say why? Because the guilty person will get sloppy and get caught again eventually. It'll happen, don't worry. Some of you want to play God. Well, I know it's true because so-and-so said it. Hello. You know, we better seek the credibility of the truth. Everybody look at me for a second. And it's time we better get our education based on truth, not philosophy and hearsay. For the last 60 years in America, they've been rewriting the curriculum for America and re-educating everybody. And what your parents and grandparents knew is true is now false. We have leaders going all over the world apologizing for America. What do we need to apologize for? 68 years ago, this last week, we dropped 2 bombs on Japan. Should we apologize for it? No, we stopped the war. Thank God Harry Truman had enough guts to get up and do it. FDR didn't. Could have stopped the war a long time before then. By the way, FDR should have stopped the war before it ever started. Western powers, Great Britain and America, sat on their do-nothing while Hitler started marching across Europe with an army he wasn't even allowed to have. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Hitler, in his own words, said, I'm counting on the Western powers to have their Sitzkrieg while I have my Blitzkrieg. He was right. Okay, not real popular. Here we go. Seek the truth. Seek the truth. Number one, get wrapped up in the love of God. Number two, seek the truth. Number three, live controlled by the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you how not to give up on God? Let His Spirit control you. I'm gonna make a statement here that might make some of you mad. But hang in there. When spiritual people disappoint you, we tend to give up on God. If we were living back in these days, I wonder how many church members would leave church over the fact that Peter, Thomas, Nathaniel, and 2 other disciples gave up on serving God. Guess what? I don't care who quits. I'm gonna keep on going. Much as I love those 2 people sitting back there, my mom and dad, if they leave this church mad at me, guess what? We're going on. Will it break my heart? Sure it would, just like it would if you left. But guess what? Whether you sit here or not, I'm still going on. I have a book. I have a truth. I have a church. I have everything that God gave me, and I'm supposed to do it whether you're here or not. I'd rather do it with you, but guess what? If you leave, we're going on. Well, what if the Pope quits? Good. I wish some of you had listened to the last Sunday night's message over again. What's happened to the local church? I don't care what any other pastor in America does. We're going on. I'm not to pastor other churches. I'm supposed to pastor this one. Now, I hope some of my preacher friends stay in it a long time with me. But guess what? If they don't, I'm still going. Boy, that's good stuff. Can I tell you something? Peter and Nathaniel and Thomas and the other 2 disciples are not God. God didn't die. And as long as God's still alive, we've got stuff to do. I might make a mistake. Matter of fact, I have. Say, what was it? None of your business. I've made a lot of them. But may I say this? The disciples left the ministry less than a week after Calvary. They left the ministry after the resurrection, Brother Buck. Matter of fact, we read in Scripture, verse number 14, that was the third time they saw Jesus after the resurrection. And they still left the ministry. I wonder how many people got out of church because of those five men. I'm not for what they did. But guess what? About 40 days later, Peter was preaching Pentecost. He got it right. Hang in there. He got right. But I wonder how many people never made it back because he did do wrong. I'm for restoring these five backslidden Baptist preachers. Guess what? God will still use them. But may I say this? I wonder how many people got out of church because of this. God has a work for you to do even if man lets you down. Guess what? Man will let you down. Somebody's going to disappoint you. This preacher will disappoint you. I won't do everything you think I should do. Say why? Because there's no nail prints there. I'm not God. I'll do my best. I'm trying to live in this book, preach this book, live that book, and help you along the way. And I am human and sinful just like you are. I will make mistakes, but may I say this? It's not because I want to hurt you. It's because I'm a sinner like you are. God's work will keep going because of the Holy Spirit. God left us the Holy Spirit. Listen to me. When Jesus went back to heaven to stay, he said, I'll give you the Holy Spirit. That means we have the same wherewithal to do what he did. Matter of fact, Jesus said, greater works than these shall ye also do. We're not supposed to stop with what he did. We're supposed to keep it going. We have history and we have all the mistakes that others have made along the way to show us what not to do. We have the successes of those that have gone before us to take and say, this is what we should do. When the Holy Spirit controls you, you have the energy to do what you need to do. I took a vacation for a week. My wife and my daughter will tell you, I was like a caged lion. I had to have something to do. It just doesn't work real well. I was glad I was preaching twice. Say why? It expended some energy. Man, I had to sit through somebody's Sunday school class on a Sunday morning. I had to sit through a morning church service without preaching. And I was like, my wife would just look at me. My daughter looked at me. She said, Dad, sit still. I said, I can't. So you didn't have much of vacation. I had vacation, but it was time to preach. It was time to do what God made me to do. And it wasn't because I didn't have enough or I had too much coffee. Can I tell you something? When you get up and sing in his power like those ladies did. Can I tell you something? When you get up to play an instrument, play with the power of God on your life like those ladies did. Everybody doing okay? When you get up to play an instrument, play in his power. When you get up to teach Sunday school, teach in his power. When you get up to stand at a door and greet at a door or out in the parking lot, greet with his power on your life. Say why? Because it is in the power of the Holy Spirit that we reach and change lives, not in your power. When it's time to go soul winning in his power. When it's time to preach in a nursing home, preach in his power. When it's time to work in the nursery, ladies, work in his power. See, they're just babies. Yeah, but they need the power of God on their life with every diaper change. I pray and I say, God, when I shake hands at church, may people feel the presence of God and the Holy Spirit through every handshake. I can't tell you that you felt it, but I can tell you this, I've asked for it. I've prayed for every one of you men that work in the parking lot and work at the doors and ask God that every time you say good morning or good evening and we're glad you're here and you shake their hand, that God fills you with his power to do it. That man will tell you every service in my office before we walk out here, I ask God to fill our musicians, fill him, fill me with his power as we do the service of God here. Say why? Because you're not able to do it, not on my own, and it's not my service, it's God's. Folks, I don't always respond the way I want to. Have you ever noticed? There's times, you know, I've gotten phone calls and had conversations in recent days. I've wanted to reach through the phone and jerk a knot in somebody's tail. Say, what did you do? Oh, God, control me. Because if you don't, this is going to be ugly. I have people that don't say nice things about me just like you do. Oh. I had a preacher from out of state call me and said, Brother Bush, is this true? I said, nope. Just another lie. He said, I didn't think so, but I figured I'd call the source. I said, well, it wasn't the source. He said, no, the source of what it was about. He said, I'll call the source back and set them straight. I said, good. Say, does that bother you? There's a part of my flesh that gets riled up. Say, how do you do it? God, you better control me, because if I say what I'm thinking, I'm going to end up in jail. I'm no different than you are. I have those feelings too. I don't like sometimes what people say. But guess what? That's just time for me to step up and let God have control. Did you ever read what they said about Jesus? Can you imagine what the news press would do with Jesus Christ today? Can you imagine what CNN, NBC, CBS, ABC, and the other sewer lines would say about our Savior today? You know what they do say about him today? And he's not even here. Learn to let the Holy Spirit control you. You know, God has a work for you to do. Then do it. Say, well, I can't. You can with his power. I can't preach. Shut up. But I can with his power. Well, I don't like the way you say something. I don't always like what I say either. And before you put me up against a litmus test, put yourself up against it. I'm not afraid to say this. I have to preach the whole Bible whether I live it all or not. I'm trying. But there's no nail prints here. Guess what? I'm not perfect. I can tell you before you get disappointed, I fail at things I preach. You hypocrite. Yeah. I'm just a delivery boy. I get so tired of people saying, well, the preacher doesn't live everything he preaches. Did you ever try to live everything in that book? It's not possible. But it's our job to know what the truth is so that we can be better what it's supposed to be. Okay, moving on. Number four, and I'm done. Learn to live and enjoy every part of life. Learn to live and enjoy every part of life. Look at me. Can I tell you how to keep from getting burned out in Christian life? Learn to enjoy it. Those of you that are children, learn to enjoy being a child. Because everybody's taking care of everything you need. Enjoy it. You're going to grow up real soon and not enjoy what you're about to get into. Hey, teenagers, can I tell you something? Enjoy being a dorky teenager. Junior hires are the perfect example. They enjoy everything and don't know why. They just enjoy it. Can I tell you something? Enjoy being a teenager. I realize you want to be a kid sometimes, and then you want to be an adult, and you're not sure when you want to be what, and usually it's at the wrong time, but it's okay. You're not sure it's up is down, and down is up, and sideways is backwards, but you'll figure it out one of these days. It's okay. You can't figure out why one minute you're laughing, the next minute you're crying, and you don't know why you did either. You wake up and find your brain on the pillow because it rolled out your ear and tried to put it back in, and it won't go back in. And then you wake up and got these bumps all over your face and can't figure out where they came from. And you go through all these different things. Guess what? Enjoy it. It's okay. We've all been there. And if we haven't, we're about to be. Hey, college student, enjoy college. Say, enjoy college as much as you can enjoy anything. Enjoy those years. Enjoy that training ground. It's like basic training for the rest of your life. You're getting involved in a rigorous schedule and work and school and mixing this up and mixing that up, and you're learning. By the way, you should never stop learning. But enjoy those college years. Hey, young couple, young adult, enjoy it. Enjoy your children while they're small. They grow up. If you don't kill them first. No. Enjoy them while they're small. Man, I can't hardly believe I've got two going to college. I got two adult children. I'm not old enough to have two adult children. My mother's old enough to be a grandmother of two adult grandchildren, but I'm not old enough yet. Now, wait a minute. My baby's going to be 16 years old this fall. I'm not old enough to have my baby going to be 16. But guess what? Two more years, she's gone. Then the house is all to my wife and I. Glory to God. Wait a minute. Enjoy those years as a young adult, young couple. You know, babies being born and being up all night long and cleaning up barf and diapers and going to work and not getting any sleep. Enjoy those years. I don't want to enjoy them again. Can I tell you something? Middle-aged person, enjoy your life. Enjoy building your career. Enjoy doing things for God. Enjoy your friends. If I'm middle-aged, that means I'll live to be as old as my grandmother. Amen. I decided I was going to enjoy every stage of life. Now, I realize the older you get, the harder it is to enjoy. Amen. It takes more work to enjoy it because it hurts more. And if it don't hurt, you can't enjoy it. That's okay. But learn to enjoy it. Can I tell you something, senior citizen? Enjoy your years. You can't change it. Matter of fact, most of you are old enough, you don't want to go back and do it again. Do you know I don't want to go back and be a child? Say why? I know some of the stupid things I did, and I don't want to ever do that again. And if I went back there, I know me, I'd do it again. Now, there are some things I learned well enough not to do a second time, but there's other things I'd probably go back and do. The ones I didn't get caught for, amen? And knowing me, because I didn't get caught, I tried again, and then I'd get caught and not enjoy it anymore. Can I tell you something? I don't ever want to be a teenager again. I thought I did at one point in time, then I had teenagers and realized how stupid they were and don't want to do that again. You know, I don't want to go back and have babies all over again, or have my wife have them. There ain't no way. I'm done. Yeah, buddy. Can I tell you something? I'm enjoying life now. I've not dreaded becoming older. Say, well, in 3.5, 4 years, you'll be 50 years old. Are you nervous? No, I'm going to enjoy it. I really am. I can't change it anyway, as I might as well enjoy it. I don't care if you're 40, 50, 60, 70, 77. Enjoy it. Can I tell you something? Just learn to enjoy every part of life. We're not content with life. We always want something we can't have. Can I tell you something? Enjoy your Christian life. Enjoy coming to church. Say, well, I don't always enjoy what you preach. Then change the way you live. Amen. You'll enjoy it more. Well, I don't always enjoy who I sat with. Well, sit somewhere else. Just because she's sitting here and you're sitting there, we won't say anything. Folks, learn to enjoy the Christian life. Can I tell you something? Those five disciples got backslidden because they weren't enjoying what they were doing. They weren't seeking truth. They weren't loving God the way they should. And they obviously were not filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm going to make a statement here. You never have to be a former member of Grace Baptist Church. Never. Unless God moves you away. And by the way, don't blame God for you being upset. He will never move you to a church in lesser doctrines or lesser in standards and convictions and everything else. God does not do that. Just so you know. That's man's will. Less than a week, they've seen the resurrected Savior three times, and they quit the ministry. Hasn't changed in 2,000 years. Hasn't. Tell him you love him. Fall in love with God all over again. Learn to enjoy every part of life. Learn to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Learn to do the things we talked about today. Get in that book and seek truth and seek justice. Can I tell you how to be a Christian 40, 50, 60, 70 years from now if you're still here? Do those things. Promise you. You say, will I ever not get discouraged? No, you're going to get discouraged. But when you get discouraged, you just start doing these things. It'll get you out of your discouragement. And that's how you make it. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I don't know who this sermon was for other than me. I'm not sure if it was for you, but I know it was for me. I needed to remind me of this. Who'd say, Brother Bush, something in there today got me. And God used it in my heart, my life, and I needed a part of that truth today. Would you raise your hand, oh my soul? Nearly every hand. Who'd say, Brother Bush, I don't want to get discontented and I'll act on it. Well, if that's you, in a moment the music will begin to play. You use this altar.